Some various scriptures, and the topic that we're going to talk about is forgiveness. And so if you grab your notes out, I think mine has the scriptures in there. You can certainly follow along in your Bibles as well. But I want to share something. Last night I got home, and I got home again around 1 o'clock, and I told Brianna, she came downstairs, I said, I gotta work on some stuff for tomorrow. She said, can you at least come upstairs for a minute? And I said, okay. She said, I changed the sheets on the bed. And we have had this thing since we've been married. We both love new sheets. And we will not climb into bed without the other person. This is how much I knew I was loved last night. She slept on top of the bed until I got home. And so if you think your wife is good, friends, you're missing out. I got the best one. Can't top that. And so we enjoyed the sheets for a few minutes. Take that where you want. Didn't go anywhere. Didn't go anywhere, I can promise you that. Hey, can we just agree on something? That this is a couples conference? It's okay to laugh and joke and have fun and be serious about things that God has given us as a gift. I'll just say it plainly. Glad my mom's not here because she would be embarrassed. Sex within the confines of marriage is a beautiful gift that God has given. It's to be enjoyed. It's to be cherished. It's to be given to one another. And as I was talking to Tom, I'm not going to actually get much into this. We left that to Josh. But he said as he travels the country and does these couples conferences, physical intimacy is the greatest need amongst Christian couples. It's something that's ignored. It's something that's not talked about. And I would encourage you to enjoy the gift that God has given you. Enjoy it in a way that glorifies God. Enjoy it in a way where you minister to your spouse as you enjoy that together. You say, this is weird. Friend, it's a gift. Who likes gifts? I like gifts. And that's a good one that God has given. I'm not going to talk about that. We'll leave it to Josh, as I said. But I want you to close your eyes for a minute, and I want to ask a few questions just so I can gauge the room. First question is, how many of you here, and I want you to raise your hand. Nobody else is looking around. It's not being videoed. Close your eyes. We're adults, right? How many of you here would say you've been hurt by your spouse? If your hand's not up, you're lying. Put your hand up. Second question. How many of you here have been afraid to admit a sinful action or thought to your spouse? Final question. How many of you would admit that with your spouse specifically, you struggle with forgiveness at times? All right, you can open your eyes. My assumption was correct in that these things are things that plague our marriages. Can I tell you something today? That forgiveness is not a natural thing to do. What is natural? Holding on to hurt, bottling up anger, meditating on things that have been done to you or said to you, keeping those things in yourself until, unfortunately, sometimes they explode because you explode. They come out in a fit of rage. They come out in a negative way. And the Word of God has a lot to say about forgiveness. And the title of my session this morning is Walking in Forgiveness. And I think as Christian couples, those who have professed faith in Christ, as we understand forgiveness, we'll get into this, we know that ultimate forgiveness comes from God. And that forgiveness that God has given us is what He has called us to walk in. I know there's some couples in here today that are not yet married, some that are engaged, some that are dating. But this principle of forgiveness is crucial to your relationship with the person that you're closest with, but it's also crucial to every other relationship in your life. For unforgiveness builds walls within our lives that cause us to block out other people, that cause us to be dishonest with ourselves and dishonest with those whom have hurt us. And God calls us to rise above those things. I want to share several passages of Scripture, and then we're going to kind of walk through them together. And we'll do it fast, but as we do it, I pray that God would speak to your heart. The first one is this, James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Matthew 18, verses 21 through 22 says this, Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say, not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Ephesians 4, 32, And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Colossians 3, 13, Forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Psalm 32, 1, Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Psalm 86, 5, For thou, O Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon thee. Do those scriptures encourage your heart today? Do they broaden your understanding that forgiveness is not only commanded, but it's possible? And I think sometimes in our marriage relationships, in our closest relationships, we have said, instead of forgiving, I'm just going to look past. Or instead of forgiving, I'm just going to move on. Instead of forgiving, I'm just going to try to forget about it. But who knows, those things are not a reality. That forgiveness is a gift that God has given us to enjoy with our spouse. And we're most like God when we walk in that forgiveness towards those who have hurt us. C.S. Lewis said this, Everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. I like people's forgiveness of me, but if I'm honest, sometimes I like to hold a grudge. An unforgiving spirit is one of the things that some of the deepest marital conflicts come from. An unforgiving heart is a reality that you, the one who was hurt, the one who had hurt done to them, is not actually walking in faithfulness or in step with God. We understand that hurt does not feel good. We understand that that statement doesn't feel good. Why? Because unforgiveness is often something we feel justified in. And I'm not here today to tell you that your hurt is not real. Because hurt is real. And there are many people who would say, oh, just get over it. And I don't necessarily think that's a biblical principle either. I think there's a process of working through things at times that God will take us through, that God will grow us in, and when we do that, our marriages will flourish as we allow forgiveness to become a reality in our lives. In your minds, what is the thing that causes us to be unforgiving? One word answer. Anybody have anything? Eddie?
Pride.
Pride. That's what I had. Anybody else have anything else? Okay, good, because there is nothing else. Pride. We think that I'm justified in my feelings. I'm justified in my emotions against this person. I'm justified even in harboring bitterness towards this person. And I think we're going to see through the Word of God today that that is not actually true. Pride gets in the way. Pride is what caused the first sin in the world. Pride is what causes us to sin. And then pride is what causes us to not act or walk in forgiveness towards those who have hurt us. One of the things that Tom said to me last night is this idea that unforgiveness or bitterness in marriage is really a tool that the enemy, that Satan will use to continue to drive a wedge that's between you. You know when there's been conflict, there's already a wedge. But that unforgiving spirit, that prideful spirit in you or your spouse, in me or in my spouse, that only drives us further apart. And when that takes place, do we win? No, we don't win. We lose. We're on the losing side of that battle, and the enemy is the one who wins. And so God says a lot in His Word about forgiveness. In Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15, this is not in your notes, I don't think, but He says this, Jesus says this, For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You feel the weight of that verse? That Christ is saying, friend, if you have been forgiven, then you are called to forgive. Forgiveness drives a wedge between us and our spouse, but in some regards, forgiveness also hinders our relationship with our Heavenly Father. That as He looks at us and He sees our hearts filled with bitterness and conflict that is not brought to resolution and anger and turmoil, as He sees us withholding the very thing that He gave to us so freely, certainly that brings great grief to His heart. It does not make us no longer his children, but certainly it does grieve the heart of the Father when we choose to not walk in forgiveness with the spouse that he has given us. Do you think God knew the conflicts you would face in your marriage? He did. I love what Peter says, that God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And one of those things that he's given us is the ability to forgive as we follow the precepts or principles given in his word. I want to give you four statements. They're in your book. The first one is this: forgiveness does not minimize the hurt you've experienced, but it elevates the reconciliation God can give. Lots of times when it comes to forgiveness, we think the one who is forgiving is actually losing. Friend, you're not losing when you forgive. You're winning. You're bringing reconciliation to that which was broken. And I've been there. You don't know this about me, but I can be a very stubborn person. Very stubborn. And oftentimes, to my own shame, it takes Brianna approaching me for me to actually forgive. Why is that? Because I don't like to give up. I want to prove that I was right, she was wrong. I want to prove that her hurt to me was real. And in me thinking I'm proving something, when you win an argument, you win the battle. But that's not how God's word works. That's not what God's word says. And so you forgiving the person that has hurt you, it doesn't minimize your hurt. Nobody's saying your hurt's not genuine. It's just saying, hey, I'm willing to elevate the idea of reconciliation that God has given me above my hurt, understanding that God can work in me through that reconciliation in ways that he won't work through me if I harbor that bitterness in my heart towards the spouse that he has given me. The second thing that I want us to understand today is forgiveness isn't necessarily easy. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. But forgiveness is always right. If you agree with that, say amen. It's not easy. And I have sat with many couples, nobody here, so don't be speculating, who have walked through very, very hard things. And they've come to the realization that forgiveness isn't easy. But you know what happens when they do forgive? They find God's peace and joy and hope for their relationship once again begin to flourish. And so it's not necessarily easy, but it is always right. Why do you think the scriptures say, why do you think Paul wrote over and over again, forgiving one another? Because he knew it was a command that we needed to hear, probably us men more than the ladies, over and over again. The third thing that I think is crucial in this area of forgiveness is this: forgiveness of others shows that we have begun to grasp God's forgiveness of us. How much did God forgive you? Completely. When you came to Christ by faith, repenting of your sins, God didn't look at you and say, I forgive these 99 things, but I'm going to withhold forgiveness from this one thing. If he did that, friend, then we would not have hope of eternal life. But he forgave fully and completely and freely. And when we understand God's forgiveness of us, then we can walk in that forgiveness towards others as well. I do want to make a side note and just say this. Sometimes, even when there's forgiveness, there can still be a change in the relationship, if that makes sense. And those are things that God can bring healing to as well over time. But what is the first step in seeing that change made? It's having a forgiving spirit. And I don't know about you, but I have experienced in my life that forgiveness is not a one-time event. But oftentimes forgiveness is choosing to forgive over and over and over again. Because what is often brought up to our minds in moments of conflict? It's the faults of the other person. It's the injustices of the other person. It's the hurt that the other person has brought. And so forgiveness is a continual thing that we must walk in, and I think we'll see that. And then finally, the fourth thing at the beginning of your notes there is this: practice forgiveness daily in the little things, and you'll find it easier to forgive in the bigger things. When forgiveness is a normal routine, a normal part of your life, I'm not going to say it comes without thinking about it, but when you have a practice of daily forgiveness in your life, then giving that forgiveness is going to be easier as well. I love, and I don't think we'll have time to go there, but I love 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter on love, and the principles and precepts that it puts in there. And one of the things that I love in that chapter is that it says love or charity thinks no evil or holds no record of wrong. How do you get to that place where you don't hold a record of wrong? You continually forgive when that wrong that was done to you pops up in your mind. It doesn't even necessarily mean that you have to go to the person every time it comes to your mind and say, I forgive you again. But it does mean that in your heart, there needs to be repentance and forgiveness that is fostered through the grace of God so that you can walk in forgiveness with that person. In your wedding vows, those who are married here today, hopefully you intentionally made statements and commitments to each other that you would walk in love with your spouse until God takes one or both of you home. This expressed love would be understood to include the idea of forgiveness. And I love what Tim Keller has to say on marriage vows and the type of love that we express in them. He says this, wedding vows are not a declaration of present love, but a mutually binding promise of future love. A wedding should not be primarily a celebration of how loving you feel now. That can be safely assumed. Rather, in a wedding, you stand up before God, your family, and all the main institutions of society, and you promise to be loving and faithful and true to the other person in the future, regardless of undulating internal feelings or external circumstances. Our pastor, Pastor Lake, always used to say this, if you've made the choice to be married, then you must make the choice to love. Love is hard sometimes, and I think we could replace that word with forgiveness. Forgiveness is hard sometimes. But who is it that can give you the grace to forgive your spouse in ways that you never thought possible? It's the God who forgave you and I of the things that we never deserved to be forgiven from in the first place. So walking in forgiveness, I want to see three things this morning briefly, and I hope they'll be a help to you as we look at some of those verses we touched on in the very beginning. The first one is this. To walk in forgiveness, we must understand the forgiveness that God has given us in Christ. And I know we've touched on this briefly, so I'm not going to labor this point long, but in Psalm 86:5 again, it says this, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. What does it say about God and his forgiveness? That he's good and that he is ready to forgive, that he's willing to forgive, that he's eager to forgive. I'll admit, friend, I have been forgiven much in my marriage. My wife is, she is a willing and a woman who gives forgiveness freely. Again, I'm stubborn. She got the short end of the stick on many things in our marriage. And there have been times where I've been driving home in my truck after we've had an argument, and I've come to church because, you know, I'm going to prepare a sermon when my heart is bitter and angry towards my wife. How's that work out? And I'll drive home in my truck, and I'll say, you know what, when I get in there, I'm going to ask for forgiveness, and I'm going to forgive. And I walk through that door, and what does the enemy do? Say, why would you ever do that? You know what she's done to you. You're justified in your feelings. You know how she spoke to you? You know what she said? How she undermined your authority, right? But God is good and ready to forgive. And I think that's a picture and a pattern that he wants us to follow in our lives, that we are ready to forgive as well, that we're eager to forgive, to see restoration brought. This psalm, Psalm 86, is written by David. There's not a lot of clarity as to when this was written or why this was written in his life. Certainly there could have been a lot of things, a lot of times in his life when he recognized the forgiveness of God. But regardless of what the circumstance was over, when David came with a heart of repentance, God restored the joy of his salvation, and God forgave him fully and freely, not holding back anything that God promised he would give him. David didn't go wondering if God was going to forgive. David went with joy, knowing that God would forgive. And how beautiful would it be, friend, if in our marriages we walked in that same way? Have you ever been afraid to ask for forgiveness because you were afraid of what the outcome might be? Afraid of what the conversation might be? Afraid of the things that would be brought up? I'm sure we've been there. David wasn't afraid. He came with joy in his heart, knowing that God would forgive him. And then when God does forgive, Psalm 32:1 says this, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. That word blessed means happy. It's the word that Jesus uses in the New Testament in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed is the man who walks after God, who gives himself to God wholly, who models his life after the way that God has revealed himself to us. And David again says in that psalm, we believe that, that he whose transgression is covered, whose sin is forgiven, he's a blessed man. Do you want to know how your relationship can be blessed? Walk in forgiveness towards your spouse. Walk in the forgiveness, first off, that God has given you. And when you understand the forgiveness that God has given you, I think it'll cause us to be more forgiving to those who have done us hurt. The second thing that I want us to understand today is to walk in forgiveness, we must understand the commands God has given us in His Word. Now, I like laboring the commands of God when they don't necessarily pertain to my current situation. Right? Sunday morning, we can talk about the commands of God all day long as they don't have to do with my life. But here, Paul, as he writes to the church at Ephesus, as he writes to the Colossian believers, he says basically the same thing. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Colossians, he says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Those words forgiven are written in the continual sense, in the present tense, that this is something that you are going to choose to walk in daily, that I'm going to choose to forgive, that I'm going to choose to give forgiveness, even when I feel like I'm justified in my unforgiveness, I'm going to choose to give this thing that God has given. And it's not a choice that's based on feelings. It's a choice that is based on the facts of God's Word. Amen. That we are to be a forgiving people. That our marriages are to be a picture of forgiveness. Josh is going to touch on Ephesians 5 as it talks about loving our spouses or our wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself. Aaron's going to touch on living with your spouse according to knowledge. You know what hurts your spouse. You know how you can give forgiveness to that spouse to make the relationship feel one again. And if we want to be godly Christians with godly marriages, then we must choose to walk in that forgiveness. Paul's not, again, undermining the idea of the hurt that was done, but he's elevating the idea of reconciliation that we find in Christ. He goes on in Ephesians 4:32 to say, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And so this forgiveness is not something you're unfamiliar with. If you're a believer, it's something you're very familiar with. At least you should be. And if you're familiar with that thing, then it should be something that you and I, that we desire to give. I like what Tim Keller also says about this. He says, forgiveness then is a form of voluntary suffering. In forgiving rather than retaliating, you make the choice to bear the cost. He goes on to say this, forgiveness is always expensive to the forgiver, but the benefits at the very least within your heart and at best in the restoration of relationship and a witness to the power of the gospel outweigh the cost. You know what the world thinks is crazy? That marriages that were once on the brink of falling apart could be restored to be something that's better than they ever were. What is that a picture of? God's love for us through Christ in the gospel. And so to walk in forgiveness, we must understand the commands that God has given us. We can't use those commands to leverage only other people's forgiveness of us, but we must first use those commands and allow the Spirit to use those commands to work in our hearts so that we become forgiving of those around us. By the grace of God, and this is a harsh statement, by the grace of God, there should be nothing done to us that we cannot forgive. You think about the worst thing that could happen to you. Friend, in the gospel, in God, there's nothing done to us that God has not given us the ability, the capability to forgive that person. As I said earlier, it might change relationship. If somebody abuses one of my kids, I can forgive them through God in Christ. Does it mean I'm going to leave them alone with my kids again? Absolutely not. There are some times where the relationship changes. But as we think about our relationship with our spouse, if there's been emotional hurt or mental hurt or sexual hurt or spiritual hurt or even physical hurt, God can work in you to bring restoration and reconciliation. There may need to be a time of separation. That's biblical. But what's the goal of separation? To be reunited once again in forgiveness? To walk in the forgiveness that God has given us? One of the ways that we can grow in this area of forgiveness is to readily and regularly remind us of how much God has forgiven us and continues to forgive us. Basic question, and you can keep your eyes open for this one. I'd encourage you to even look around the room. Anybody sin today? Will God forgive you of that sin? Yeah. Don't raise your hand for this one. You think you're going to sin against your spouse, or your spouse is going to sin against you in the week to come? Probably. It may not be some egregious sin that makes the headlines of the local newspaper, but it certainly could be an untimely word, an unkind action. Can God bring forgiveness in that? He can. And not only can He, but He wants to. Why? Because when we walk in forgiveness, we model His forgiveness of us. All right, the final thing, and then we'll play another game, because that's way more exciting than this. The final thing is this: to walk in forgiveness, we must actively live out the truths God has illustrated in His Word. We're not going to turn there, but in Matthew 18, 21, and 22, the idea of Peter's question, how much should I forgive? Is 7 times? And Jesus says, no, 70 times 7. He gives an illustration of an unjust servant, of a horrible situation, a parable there that would infuriate us. And Jesus is saying, you're to walk in forgiveness as God has walked in forgiveness to you. 70 times 7 doesn't mean we keep a list. If you're a list keeper in your marriage, can I ask you to destroy the list? Destroy it? Burn it? Flush it down the toilet? Why? Because that list is only going to harbor resentment and bitterness for years and years to come. And so what do? We walk in forgiveness. Or to walk in forgiveness, we must actively live out the truths that God has illustrated in His Word. The second verse that I gave you there is James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I had decided in my heart on the way down that I was going to speak on forgiveness, and then as we were in the hospital yesterday, Tom was again pouring into me just wisdom and knowledge, and he said, I want to give you a secret that has changed my marriage. And he said, it's James 5:16. I said, okay, lay it on me. And he said, when Terry and I have a problem with one another, we come and we stand face to face as we did on our wedding day, and we verbally confess the hurt that was done. That's hard, isn't it? And then what did he say? He said, we go from there, from confessing that fault, to immediately taking the thing to God in prayer, confessing it to one another, praying with one another that God would bring restoration. And he said, you know what God has done every time? He's healed what was hurt. He's mended what was broken. But you know what this takes? It takes you being honest about the ways you have hurt your spouse. It takes your spouse being honest about the ways they have hurt you. It takes you being honest of feelings that you've harbored against them, of bitterness, of anger, of frustration. It takes laying the cards on the table. It takes being open and transparent. And friends, if we can't be transparent with our spouse, who can we be transparent with? If we can't be transparent with our spouse, unfortunately, what's happened for so many is they find somebody else they can be transparent with. And you know what that often leads to? A marriage that falls apart. So be transparent. Walk, actively live out the truths that God has illustrated in His Word. Forgive 70 times 7, 490 times. Forgive face to face, desiring for God to bring reconciliation, desiring for God to heal that which was broken, that which was suffering, that which you have damaged, or that which the other person has damaged. Walking in forgiveness means that we actively live out the truths that God has illustrated in His Word. I was talking to Josh the other day just about a passage he was preaching on, and I think it was with Judas. And as he was preaching on Judas, one of the things he said, I hope he was going to share this so I can steal it from him before he was going to share it. He said, you know, as Christ walked with the disciples on this earth, did Christ know Judas was going to betray him? Certainly he did. But what did Christ not do? He didn't treat Judas any differently than any of the other disciples. What did he do? He loved him. He washed his feet. Certainly knew what the outcome was going to be. But he didn't treat him any differently. And one of the reasons that he didn't treat him differently, and we can say this is a little bit of conjecture, but one of the reasons he didn't treat him differently, because if Christ treated him differently, guess who else would have treated him differently? The rest of the disciples. Sometimes with our hurt, we think, well, I got to share this with somebody. I got to talk to somebody. And I'm not saying that there's not a time to get counsel when it comes to hurt in your marriage. There is a time. And any pastor in the room can say, I hope would say that if you're in their church, come to them. Their desire is to shepherd you through those things. But you know what's not a biblical model of forgiveness? To go around and talk to everybody else about the hurt that you've experienced, but rather to walk in that forgiveness towards the one who has done you hurt for the desire of restoration. What happens if I share everything that Brianna has ever hurt me with? Their perception of my wife is, I mean, she's a good woman, friend, but their perception of my wife is going to be, wow, I didn't know that about her. And guess what? They don't need to know that about her. And you know what? She could say the same about me 10 times worse. Who does know? God knows. And who is it that will bring restoration and forgiveness? God will. But it's an active choice to walk in that forgiveness daily. I would ask you today, tonight, on the ride home, let's just admit something. It's good to ride in a car without kids. Can I get an amen? Today, tonight, on the ride home, would you be transparent with your spouse? You say, that might not make my marriage better. And you know what? It might not in the short term. But if you walk in transparency and you walk in forgiveness, I guarantee it will make it better in the long term. It absolutely will. Why? Because that's the model that God has given us in forgiveness. Forgive one another as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. What did it cost God to forgive you? His Son. Is forgiveness costly? Sure, it will be. It'll make it feel like you're losing. It'll make it feel like the other person is winning. And if you've got a competitive nature at all, you don't like that. But who ultimately wins when we walk in forgiveness? We do. Let's think about this. Our kids do. Our church does. The lost world around us does. Forgiveness is a powerful tool. It's a powerful thing that God has given us. And I pray that we would walk in that forgiveness as God leads us. Let's pray. God, we ask today, as we think through this first session, God, that you would give us a desire to walk in this forgiveness. That we would not hold back, but that we would forgive as you have forgiven, freely and fully. That we would forgive, God, because that's what you've done for us through Christ. God, I don't know what the hurts in this room are. I don't know the struggles that each of these couples have faced or are facing or will face. But God, as we've already discussed today, you do. You're fully aware. You love them as your children. And you've given us, as your children, God, everything we need to walk in this principle of forgiveness. God, thank you for forgiving us. And when we feel unforgiveness rising in us, may we stop and only think of the sins that we have committed in the present day. May we understand your free forgiveness of those things. And then may we forgive those who have hurt us. God, we thank you. We thank you that you've given us your word that guides us in these things. I pray that they would change our lives for the sake of the kingdom. God, that others around us would see that which was broken and how you have made it beautifully restored through the power of your word, through the power of your spirit, and through the power of the gospel. We thank you again. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.